whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And good Saturday morning and happy National Arkansas Day. On January 11th, we recognized the 25th state to join the Union. You know, this area was populated by the Osage, Caddo, and Quapaw tribes when the French and the Spanish explorers arrived in the area. And, of course, if you've been to Arkansas, you know it's just got loaded with streams and lakes and rivers. It's bordered by the big Mississippi River, and although Little Rock is its capital, it's known for some big rocks and lots of rocks and minerals. It's the quartz crystal capital of the world. Bet you didn't know that. Only diamond mine in the United States. 102 varieties of minerals, and it's also home of the World Duck Calling Championships held in Stuttgart. And let's not forget, Arkansas does owe its existence to Louisiana's, along with 11 other all or in part of states that came along with the Louisiana Purchase of 1803. Enough about Arkansas. Let's talk more about Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Are you enjoying this hunting season? Have you been happy with the dates and the limits? Well, Louisiana could be seeing some changes in the 2025-26 seasons if they're approved by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. They made some proposals at this week's commission meeting. I'll run down some of the highlights of those, and I'd like to hear your opinions about them, if you agree or disagree. Of course, some people don't care about season dates, limits, and regulations, and for those people, we have a special feature. It's called Bad Boys of the Outdoors, and this morning, we've got a father-son illegal act that has earned them a spot on the show. And if you've had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments, your questions. We'll add it in with the reports we get from our professional captains and marina operators. You do that simply by texting your message real-time here to the studio at 504-260-1870. Of course, it's deer season prime time right now or in the next couple of weeks. In Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, the rut is either kicked in your area or about to start. I got a question for you if you're a deer hunter. What is your go-to weapon for deer hunting, your favorite way to hunt deer? Is it with a recurve bow, crossbow, muzzleloader, shotgun, rifle, or even a pistol? Text that to me, 504-260-1870. And also a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you about an exciting trip I'll be leaving for right after I get off the air, and you'll get to see that on an upcoming episode of Bayou Wild TV. And we'll also tell you about the month of January, preview Bayou Wild TV for you. But right now, we take a look at your coastal marine forecast. If you're headed out, bundle up, going to be chilly, going to be damp. If you're headed offshore, well, we actually had a gale warning last night. It's been downgraded to a small craft advisory, if you call that downgraded. Northwest winds 15 to 20 knots, 3 to 5 feet offshore, probably not worth going. On the interior lakes and bays, those northwest winds will be about 10 to 18, and a small craft advisory will continue. Now, for tomorrow, it calms down and changes direction. East wind, a little bit 10 to 18, 1 to 2 foot seas offshore. And on the interior lakes and bays, the east wind will be between 6 and 12 knots. Got a lot of water moving. Average tide rain is 2.0, one of the biggest tide ranges you'll find in the Gulf Coast. Mississippi River sitting at 6.7. So there's your facts. If you're headed out, as I mentioned, bundle up. Always use the 20-degree rule. If you're going to be out on open water where it's damp and maybe get a little bit of spray and the winds are kicking up higher, whatever the forecasted temperature is, knock 20 degrees off on the way that you prepare and dress. All right, we come back after this. He's back from Kentucky after an extended deer hunt that ended up successfully. He'll tell you about that and also about the fishing that's going on down in St. Bernard in the parish. Robbie Campo joins us from Campo's Marina. He is next on this, The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's go down there right now to Campos Marina where they got those really fine, big, fat shrimp that are willing to die for the cause. Let's talk to Robbie Campo back from a Kentucky deer hunt. Robbie, kind of recap your deer hunt. You ended it sounded like it was tough in the beginning, but you ended up pretty good.
Well, you know, Don, yeah, it was a little tough in the beginning. We got a temperature drop up there and you know, a little bit of weather change and got those deer on their feet and And I was hunting with my crossbow, so I was, you know, and then got, you know, it was, I like shooting my compound, but I got to where I'm, I guess I'm getting lazy, I guess. So, but it works just as, it works just like shooting a rifle, man. It's almost like cheating, to tell you the truth. But I tell you, I killed a, I don't like using the word kill because a lot of people get offended by that, but I harvested a real nice non-pointer, and I finished tagging out for the season. So we did, you know, we did very well up there. We had three of us hunting. We wound up taking six, one non-pointer and five does. So we had a good trip. It was really fun, but I'm glad to be back home. Yeah, it's got a, they got about a foot of snow on the ground up there right now.
You got out of Dodge just in time.
I got out of there just in time, exactly. So,
hey, you know, and you made a good shot on that deer too. To explain what you had to do, and you would have never got that deer with a compound bow.
Well, the way the deer was coming in, the deer came in on my right side. I'm a right-handed shooter, so. And I mean, he was directly off my right side. So I was like, well, and I pulled this off before with the rifle, but I said, never with a crossbow. I said, well, you've done it before with a, you know, I killed one in Canada left-handed. I said, well, let's try it out. So, I had to wait for him to take a step front because he was behind a tree. And as soon as he took that one step where I could get a clean shot on him, I wound up pulling it off, and I shot him between the front shoulder, you know, right in front of the front shoulder and the neck, and I dropped him right there. And I tell you, Don, that broadhead was in his spine so far that I had to unscrew the arrow off the broadhead off of the arrow and dig it out when I cleaned him. Those things are pretty deadly, man. If the Indians would have had a crossbow back in the day, I just don't know if we would have.
Yeah, they would have been a lot more formidable foe.
Oh, hell yeah. You better believe it. These things are just like shooting a rifle, just about, you know. Yeah. So,
well, Robbie, on this show, we don't worry about offending people with the kill word.
Well,
that's what we're doing. We kill. When somebody says they harvested, I think of going out and harvesting potatoes, melatons. You harvest vegetables. You basically kill animals, and we kill. It's part of the life cycle.
I had a customer come up to me and tell me that. When we were talking about after a deer hunting trip a few years ago, said, you know, it's the word is not kill, it's harvested. And I was like, well, you know what? So maybe somebody was a liberal or something. I don't know.
Well, political correctness is time for, we don't do that exactly. Here on this show. We say what it is.
Well, that's good. I like to know that. That's good to know.
Well, Robbie, let's get to the fishing, man. Last couple of days, the weather's just really sucked, huh? Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a person fishing here in a week. And guess who just pulled up? R.J. Boudreaux. He's sitting in a lot right now. So
hide the women and children in your checkbook. hide everything. That's the guy that rents shrimp. I never heard of anybody wanted to rent shrimp. You know, he go takes them out. If he uses them, he pays for them. If not, he wants to sell them back to you. You know.
So we got about a 10-mile-an-hour northwest wind here. Water temperature is 40 degrees, 40.8 actually at Lake Bourne, and the air temperature is the same thing according to the buoy at Lake Bourne right here. So. We talk about this redfish jubilee. We had a little bit of that happen day before yesterday. So that would have been Thursday evening. We had a few redfish show up in the bayou, but they were all undersized. Let me say this. Most of them are undersized. today, if you're going fishing, and you want to try that, that's going to be one option for you, because I think you'll probably be able to catch some there with the temperature, the water the way it is.
Right.
Because it usually takes, 40 degree water temperature to be able to make this happen, very cold like it is. And, you know, but the one component that we don't have is low water, but it is falling. So if those three things line up, they may get some of those fish in the bayou up there by the drawbridge today.
And we want to remind people to be respectful. Yeah, and we want to remind people to be respectful of the property owners. You know, don't leave trash there. If they're kind enough to let you fish off their dock or close to it, you know, please respect their property.
Yeah, and be careful because if a bunch of people are out there, you can bet wildlife's going to be checking, making sure that you're not doing well. That's right, exactly. You know, we don't want anybody to get no ticket because no redfish is worth the ticket, and it's not cheap. I know people that's paid that fine. It's not cheap, so don't do that. That's not going to be good. Now, what I can tell you is Wednesday was a really nasty day. Our good friend Todd Messon fished up at the wall of Prince Chalmette, and they smoked them up there, but the water temperature was 54 degrees. There's a difference between what it was Wednesday and what it is today. They caught a bunch of trout up at the wall at in Chalmette and fishing with mirror lures because nobody has any live bait at this time of the year. Live bait I don't know. Now we're going to try it again when it warms up Monday or Tuesday. But as of right now, I could tell you we don't have any. We did get some minnows in. We got a guy went and caught some minnows. So we do have some live minnows in the tanks, and we got plenty of dead shrimp here on hand. But you know, it's that time of the year. So that's it. There you have it.
All right. Well, everybody wrap up. Stay warm. Tell RJ good luck. I hope he catches some of those. I know he likes to fish redfish, so hopefully he gets some of those. And congratulations on your deer with the left-handed shot. That was a nice end to your trip.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was. It was, and look, Don, it wasn't a super buck. It wasn't nothing that I would put on a wall, but he was a really good 130-inch 9-point, so it worked out. I'm glad I got him. So, all right, bud, well, we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Robbie. Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. All right, we come back. I got a Toledo Bend fishing report for you. Also going to tell you about a editorial I wrote for the Times-Picayune Advocate that appeared in yesterday's paper and getting a lot of response from it. All of it positive. We'll tell you how to find that. Also get to your text messages. We're asking you this and getting a lot of response. What is your go-to weapon for deer hunting? Your favorite gun or bow? What is it you like to use when you're out there looking for the whitetails? We'll be back to explore that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting a lot of information about our listeners' favorite choice of weapon when they're deer hunting, and I'll get to a lot of those. If you'd like to weigh in on it, we'd love to hear from you. Please include your name, at least your first name or your handle and where you're calling from. Our number is 504-260-1870. That's an instant into the studio text line. Before we get to that, though, I did want to run down some of these proposed changes for next hunting season that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in Louisiana is considering, and also like to get your opinion on these, if you agree or disagree. And remember, these are proposed, not etched in stone. There will be some comment periods before they're officially cast into stone. Here's one that is not going to change. This is dictated by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service because they oversee North American waterfowl regulations. Now, they give each state a framework, so you got some choices to make on splits and dates and that type of thing. But for the most part, when they issue something, it has to be obeyed by all the states and all the hunters. As we predicted, based on the teal population, the teal season in September next year will be reduced from 16 days to a 9-day season. It's automatic. When the population dips below a certain level, they will reduce the 16-day season to a 9-day, or they can even eliminate it if it's really bad. But September 20th to the 28th, there'll only be 9 days of a teal season next year, and I, along with a lot of other hunters, are going to miss that. That's some really good hunting before the cold weather comes in. With regard to the duck seasons, you know, there's been some comment about the west zone has three splits. The east zone has two. They will be, this is proposed, to reduce the west zone duck season split from 3 to 2. So both zones will have two splits instead of three. They'll be from November the 8th to the 30th and December the 13th to January the 18th, which means the season will be wrapping up sooner. All right, they also proposed to change the youth and the veterans special waterfowl hunt days for both the east and the west zone. November 1st and 2nd, which is 1 week before the regular season opens, and then the 24th and the 25th, which is 1 week after they close, to give veterans and youth a little better shot at competition for the birds. Here's one that a lot of people are going to appreciate. They're recommending to change Deer Area 4's limit, which is currently 3 to 4, where you would be allowed 2 antler deer and 2 antlerless deer. That's in Area 4. Another proposal would allow hunters 65 and older to use any legal firearm to take deer during the primitive firearm season. So if you're 65 or older, you'll be able to use your high-powered rifle during primitive firearm. You're not going to be limited to the single shots or the muzzle loaders. Dove season traditionally opens on Labor Day weekend because a lot of people are off. It will not be opening on the Labor Day weekend. It will be the following Saturday, September the 6th. And turkey season, and not this spring, but next spring, 2026 turkey season. And I love this one. It falls on Easter weekend, so they're going to open it on Good Friday. A Friday opening day. A guy that works every Saturday of his life loves it, trust me, so I hope that one passes. You can see all the rest. There's a lot of other ones that are probably of minor interest, but if you want to see all of them, go to Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. You can check it out. You can also comment on them then. On March 6th, there will be a monthly meeting, and they will accept public comment there. There's also a mailing address and a phone number. It's up to you to take the time to go over these, form an opinion on them, and comment so that they know what the public wants. And if you've got a comment on opinion on any of these ones I've talked about, we'd love to hear from you. Text me, 504-260-1870. We'll be back with your text and a Toledo Bend fishing report from Josh Sykes up at Bent Rod's Guide Service next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rod's Guide Service up in Toledo Bend is kind enough to send us regular reports, and he's got one for us this morning. If you headed up that way, the crappie, also known as Sockeye white perch, he says the lake is on the rise and the water's stained. The water temperatures are hovering right around 50 degrees. The Sockeye bite slowed down a lot this week due to all of those factors. They are migrating towards the river and can be caught in standing timber with the bright-colored jigs and shiners. He recommends the chicken coop area. That's picking up and should be great once that water level stabilizes. As far as the bass, they got cooling temperatures. Those shad, the bait fish, have all moved out towards the main creeks and rivers, which brings the bass out there following them. Their best depths this week, 30 to 50 foot deep, fishing with an Alabama rig and jigging a spoon around the big balls of the shad once they locate them. While the numbers of the fish have gone down slightly with the cold weather, the average size has gone up. They're catching a lot of 3 to 5 pound bass each day. That's from Josh Sykes of Bent Rod's Guide Service up in Toledo Bend. I had a great trip a few weeks back with he and Roman Ray and the gang up there at the Bent Rod's. They've got a very unique style of fishing those crappie, and I think you really find it fascinating as well as productive. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and on the backside, we're getting to your text messages to 504-260-1870. Right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, first up, we're hearing from our old buddy Smokey. He says, good morning, Don. The deer are actively chasing does last week in southeast Mississippi. His dad, at the age of 81, was able to harvest a nice mature 8-point while in hot pursuit of a doe. Who is in hot pursuit? We know what you're talking about. We had watched this deer on camera all year, and it was a wonderful ending to the few days we were able to hunt together. Best of luck to everyone out there this morning. That's from Smokey. The Steel Man and Big Bar checking in. They're reporting from their old public land stomping grounds in south central Louisiana. hoping the ducks will be flying. They're hunting in that east zone. 2 a.m. on the water translated to successfully securing their preferred spot. Eggs and bacon on the camp stove. Happy hunting. Whoo, dedication, 2 a.m. to get out on the water to get a spot on public land. All right, here's one that says, and please, if you would, we need a name, at least a first name. This is a 769 area code. I'm not sure where that's from. Their go-to for deer hunting is and always a 30-06. A lot of people are getting away and have gotten away from 30-06. I got to tell you, 25 years or so ago, 30-06 was the go-to gun for everybody, but most people have downsized and gone to smaller, faster, straighter shooting bullets. But I tell you, that 30-06 still packs a wallop, and a lot of people are still using them. It's all personal preference. Mark in Clinton is listening to us where it's 35 degrees. He goes with a 12-gauge or 7mm. And why does this not surprise me? Our old buddy Wingbone in Wilmer, Alabama, he likes his flintlock, and he is old school. But he also has a 30-30, too, a 30-30 Henry. Go get him, Wingbone. Get you a deer. All right, here's another one from another texter, unnamed. A single-shot rifle, H&R, Harrington and Richardson, 444. And someone caught a nice, the worm. He went fishing last Saturday. Bad conditions, but he made the best of it. He was at Unknown Pass at the Intercoastal and caught a mess of fresh cats and redfish with shrimp. Good catch, worm. All right, Alton in Kentwood asking what my favorite way to hunt deer is like, what is my favorite rod and reel? Yeah, so many choices and situations you would use different ones. But his go-to gun, he says, is a 270. And we have Justin the Duck Guy checking in. When he deer hunts, he likes a Remington 700 308, another fine weapon. And here's one. Good morning from Snohio. They got 3 inches of the fluffy stuff on the ground in this cold. Remember, keep an eye on our neighbors, especially the elderly. Yeah, and the infirm. Yeah, they a lot of times, particularly if there's power outage associated with those freezing temperatures, got to take care of each other. And we have the backstrap stacker checking in from Alabama. This has been the best winter weather they've had in a few years. The rut is about to be on up here. His go-to weapon is a 300 Winchester mag. He doesn't like trailing deer. You hit them and they don't go far. That's not a bad philosophy. And our old buddy Toby, he says, what's up, Big Don? Toby says, doing bow season, it's the trusty old Bowtech. And during the gun season, it's the trusty old Remington Model 700 270. That's one of my weapons, too. He's up in the SIP, meaning Mississippi, wishing he could see 130-inch 9-point like Robbie got. LOL. Okay, the 769 area code is actually, it's out of area, but it's from the call was from Picayune, Mississippi, and that was Kelvin. Thanks for that, Kelvin. Appreciate it. And we got Kurt and Ben. Guess where they're going? They're headed to the Maurepas Swamp for a big swamp donkey. Translation, swamp deer, whitetail. And here's one says, I like the compound bow, and my 12-year-old son Colt is still a rifleman. We're headed to Clark County, Alabama. Buck's starting to push a little. That's Cody from Grand Bay, Alabama. Well, good luck to you and Colt. And, yeah, you know, people kind of graduate. You kill enough deer with the firepower, the firearms, and you just kind of go to the deer hunting with the compound bows, and which is really basic and primitive, or a crossbow. All right, we got more texts, and I'll get to those when we come back. Captain Robbins weighing in. We also got Zach Boudreau checking in, a lot of folks, staff, Klein, Peter. Stay with us. We'll get to your text messages. What is your favorite go-to weapon when you're hunting whitetail deer? And how about those proposed regulation changes I pointed out? Anything you agree or disagree with there? Simple one text away. Put it in your contact list, 504-260-1870, and you can label it Don on Saturday mornings. Back after this. All right, we're checking in our text board this morning, asking a couple of questions. Your opinion on the proposed changes in the hunting seasons that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is considering. And we're also talking about what is your favorite go-to weapon when you're hunting whitetail deer. All right, we're hearing from Captain Robin. And he says, Kevin Segarra's, who is one of the commissioners, proposal to close the duck season in the middle of January is unacceptable. Start the season later and let it run until the first. Well, Captain Robin, you got to make your, you know, this is just a radio show. We don't have any influence on that, but you need to officially register your objection to it and your recommendation for the season dates. Here's one says, Don, thanks for the show and all the info. Now that I have become elderly and the youngsters have limited my time, I'm using the trusty rifle. Allows me more time to thank for the Lord for his wildlife. That's from my friend, the Lafayette Yacker. And Captain Robin adds, please tell Captain Ryan I appreciated his help this week. Uh-oh, sounds like we got a story coming up when we talk to Captain Ryan. And Zach Boudreaux checking in. He's on the way to the Pearl River Lease with his 30-06. Great round for deer. Yes, it is. And this one says, it's a question. When do bears hibernate in Louisiana? And how long is the hibernation period, and where do they hibernate? Bears in Louisiana don't really hibernate. They become lethargic during really cold and inclement weather. But to my knowledge, actual hibernation where they curl up and sleep for weeks at a time, that actually does not happen in Louisiana. His staff checking in, headed to Gross Tate, says the bucks are starting to chase, looking for Mr. Big. Question, any ducks in Biloxi Wildlife Management Area? Virtually none around here. That is Manly checking in from Spanish Fort, Alabama. Interesting you bring up the Biloxi WMA. In that list of proposals, and I don't have it in front of me, there is a proposal that will end waterfowl hunting at 2 o'clock, and they will not allow any activities that require surface drives in there at the time the duck seasons are open. So I'm sure that's targeted at bow fishing, ending any bow fishing activity there at night, especially during the duck season. I haven't gotten really any good reports, though, Manly, to kind of answer your question there. Jared C. in the kayak at the Myrtle Grove Marina, the bite is hot. Yeah, I would think it is. We were talking with Robbie about, you know, that phenomenon that happens when the water temperatures really drop. Redfish will go into the deepest water they can find, and that usually happens at that Myrtle Grove Marina. The worse the weather, the better fishing in there. Here's a text with no name. 270 Browning, short mag. Love it. And here's a question, Don. What radio station can I hear you in Pensacola? Well, if you got to be listening on the radio, I would suggest our flagship station, WWL 870 AM. Possibly you can pick up our Alabama station in Mobile, 106.5 FM Talk. But I guarantee you can get us online. If you go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, you can click on there and you can actually hear it on the Internet, via the Internet. Gary from Lockport, putting out decoys in Lake Buff in Raceland, hoping to get a couple ducks. Been a very poor season so far in Lafourche. Other than a trip to Lynn, Arkansas, haven't wasted many shells. And they shoot a 30-06 for deer because it's the only rifle he has. Well, that makes sense. Petticoat Tommy's checking in. His classic Winchester Model 70, a 1964 model in 30-06. And here's one from, L9 Expat. Favorite weapon for deer seems to be any vehicle I'm driving. Sound like you got some experience with insurance claims for deer strikes. All right, here's one likes the Savage 30. More 30-06s than I thought are still out there and in use. Jerry and Kenner, longtime buddy. His rifle of choice is the 7mm. 08. He shot two nice bucks in Mississippi last weekend. Yeah, that's another powerful load, 7mm mag. All right, here's one says, Don, my best deer rifle was a Model 95 Spanish Mauser in 7.57mm, purchased at Montgomery Ward in Monroe, Louisiana, Christmas of 1966 for the paltry sum of $26. It was the last Christmas present my dad was able to buy for me. That's from Old Man Sam. $26 for a 7.57mm. Montgomery Ward. Boy, that goes back some time. That's a store from the past. They had pretty popular sporting goods for a while when they were around. course, I worked at Sears Roebuck, and we had everything in the sporting goods department there. All right, I got some more texts coming in. We got room for more. This text board is endless. We can take as many as you can send us, 504-260-1870. And right after this break, we're going to take you for a Grand Isle Fishing Report. We do that every week with Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. You'll hear him next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And this time on Saturday mornings, we talk to Captain Darryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And Darryl, you know, you're one of our few reporters without a walk-up theme song. We got to get that for you. I'm going to put it out for the listeners. If you have a suggestion for theme music to introduce Captain Darryl, text me that at 504-260-1870. What do you think, Darryl?
I never really thought about it, Don. I don't know.
Well, if you got a preference, let us know.
Is this not been a good week to just take out all the reels and decide, hey, you know, it's time to start cleaning these things and get them functioning correctly for when the weather turns nice or what?
Yeah, it has not been fun. People have gone out in it, but man, look, you gotta be willing to pay the price on these kind of days, you know.
Yeah, and you gotta time it too. We got right at a 2-foot tide with a hard, hard north wind blowing. You know, you had this Grand Isle still got the mist and all from this front that just passed that's hanging right down the coast. You almost got to time it. I mean, such violent, if you will, weather when it comes to the fishing world that came through is going to push that water so low. Then the winds are going to turn around and change to the east, and with a 2-foot tide, it's going to come screaming in. You almost got to time the tide change, or you're going to have to really hunt for something that's decently clean water. Even though a lot of times the dirt and all is on the top, there's going to be so much exposed mud bank and everything else with that current ripping that it's going to be really difficult to find. It's going to be difficult to find fishing water and clean water with it screaming so hard. This is the time of the year that the side of the road was made for it, even though with the weather we've had, there hadn't been a whole lot of people around. You got the ability to retreat to your vehicle, plus you've got those pockets of water that, if you want to call them protected, are enough. You know, just, but man, look, being in a boat, you know, you're going to have to, I'd say definitely fish it on a rising tide, because you're going to have problems finding navigable water as it is. And if you get in trouble, at least you got 2 foot of water coming in at you, you know, that's going to help you get off. And try to concentrate out of those tide areas, you know, try to find pockets of water that aren't affected by a 2-foot screaming tide, you know?
You know, Dal, we were talking with Robbie about, you know, and of course people down at Myrtle Grove Marina, the water depth there, it doesn't have to be much of a difference. I mean, if you can find a 5 or 6 foot hole in 2 foot, 1 and 2 foot of water, those redfish will stack up in there when that water temperature drops. So that's the key is, you know, getting an area, like you mentioned, that's protected from the wind, but also got a little bit of depth. And you put the dead shrimp down there, and you could be on your way to catching a limit of redfish, pulling them out of there.
Oh, without a doubt, Don. Without a doubt. In fact, some of our better areas, though, you know, that historically have been our better areas, are going to be affected by this big, huge tide. I mean, you've got the deep hole right there at the Leeville Bridge that not only this time of the year will hold redfish, but it'll hold a whole lot of trout. Of course, the bite will be slower than what you're used to in the summertime. But the Fouchon jetties, I mean, when you can get out to the Fouchon jetties this time of the year, full of redfish, full of sheephead, full of, you know, all kinds of interesting stuff that's going to come in on the hook. But the problem is all of those are on main bayous. Now, there'll be some back in the duck ponds and, you know, back in the marsh. They're just a little harder to find. And a lot of them come with nice, you know, a lot of them belong to Mr. Post Ed, you know. But yeah, it's just if you know the area well enough, the regulars that know the area well enough have got their hidden holes back in the marsh. But then again, like I said, the problem right now is going to be getting to them. I mean, we've still got areas in the marsh that have a lot of humps that were caused by Ida, stuff that used to be navigable water that now, you know, you got to kind of, you're exploring them again. But just be careful and go on a high tide. And look, make sure you bring extra food and extra clothes, because you might, if you if you make a wrong turn on the water this low, you might be there for a little while.
Yeah, you might want to put a call out to CETO. Darrell, thanks for the report. Somebody wants to get in touch with you and do some planning. You know, springtime is here and it's coming, and people who like to do long-range planning, it's always good to get on the books and get the date that you'd like. Tell them how to get you.
Yep, it's scary that it's going that fast, but, you know, like I always tell everybody, if you need it, if you need a particular day, book early. It's 225-937-6288, or they can find me on your site, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or just RealScreamers.com.
And that's R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L, correct?
That is correct. We've got them both.
All right, he's for real. All right, Dow, we're going to work on that theme music for you, buddy. Take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, Don.
See you later. There he goes. That's one of our regular field reporters. Been with us, I don't know, maybe 20 years or so. Darrell Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, getting back to your text messages. I got Drew Vicari checking in. He says, I'm a former Marine driving tax with a 270 Winchester my daddy bought me 30 years ago. Here's a vote from an unnamed listener. A Browning BAR 30-06. Yeah, another 30-06 lover. And we got Nuck Joris. He's back to the Breck. That's the Breck ponds around the corner going for those rainbow trout. Yeah, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has been stocking local ponds with rainbow trout, and they suggest strongly that you get out there and catch them, take them out, because they do not survive once those waters warm up. And we got Gumbo checking in, who is not really a hunter. Fishing's his thing, but wanted to say, I love the show. Keep up the good work. Well, thanks for that. We appreciate it very much, Gumbo. All right, I'm warming up my my cinnamon-flavored sourdough bread. Thank you, Janice. And I'm going to be dining on that during the top of the hour break. But when we come back, we're going to get some reports from Captain Mike Gallo, Eric Mohabarak, Captain Ryan Lambert. Get back to your text messages at 504-260-1870. Tell you about my very exciting trip that's going to be happening this weekend and Bayou Wild TV, and also what's coming up on next week's show. And, of course, a father-son bad boy story on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.